Well, hey, this is Dave. Welcome to the early birds. Who's here already?
Hi, Dave. It's Carlene. I'm here from Edmonton.
Super. Excellent. And welcome to your first mentor group. Welcome.
Thank you.
The group your name and what your focus is in coaching.
Well, my name's Carlene Ellis. My focus is heart-centered life mentoring. So it's basically aligning life choices with the heart leading and the head, or what I could call the conditioned mind following.
Super. Well, welcome. Thank you. And who else is here?
Hi, Dave. Hi, this is Erica Pembroke. How are you?
Welcome. How are you, Erica?
I'm well, thank you. I wrote a book. And I'm actually, my ebook is going to be launched in about 2 weeks' time, so I'm really super excited.
Tell us the title, and also I'm going to ask each person who has something going on to send me a link to access it. So what's your book title?
Now, my book is titled Feel Sexy Again, The Ultimate Guide to Reclaiming Your Sexual Confidence.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Well, the title grabs, so that works. Would you say
it does? And I have to say that you and Lori were very inspirational. I've been working with you guys for many years, and a lot of it's thought work. It's it's changing our thoughts and finding new ways to really look at who we are. And I'm looking at women more in midlife and beyond. And so. The title grabs you, but a lot of it's just getting in there and having to do a lot of rewiring and rethinking. So, it's really exciting. But you and Lori have definitely been very inspirational through this process. So I thank you for that.
Well, congratulations on that. And the subtitle tells you the benefits that you get by reading it. So that works, too. So send me the
Absolutely.
Link to that, and I'll, as a follow-up for our discussion today, send links and any kind of information from any of you to our entire group, the couple of people we have who are going to do a brief presentation and discussion, Amy Howler and Kip Flock. I'm going to send their websites around as well, and anything that any of you have that you want to announce or send to the group, please send to me, and I'll be happy to fire it off as a follow-up to our group. And thank you for the suggestions and the input about having various people who have different areas of specialty and expertise to share with the group. I think that's a great idea, and I appreciate your responses to me as I hatched this idea with you. We have a couple of absolutely fascinating people today, and some very interesting people already lined up for our November group. So, other wins, progress notes, check-ins. What you got?
This is Kip.
Hey, Kip. Welcome, my man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just great. Just wanted to let you know I was about.
Well, I'm glad you showed up.
Yeah, me too.
That's a major part of things. Okay, great. Any new stuff or any announcements or exciting things you have going on?
Well, yeah, I've got a presentation in a couple of minutes.
Okay. I'm glad you reminded me. I'll reserve your time.
And
anything else that's happening with you?
I'm planning to do a series on meditation in the fall in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, at a wellness center that I'm excited about. And I'm just very eager to get relaxation, mindfulness, meditation techniques out to as many people as possible. Another thing I'm going to be doing is yoga of the heart, which is grounded in Dean Ornish's work. one of his four components for reversing heart disease is stress management, which includes mindfulness meditation, and group support, which I'll be doing one of those programs also in the fall.
Okay, super. That's
yeah.
Great. Just as a reminder, there is an announcement I'll send around of another sitting for the board specialization, the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaches, that those of you who have completed the New Life Story Wellness Coaches training can sit for. We're one of the maybe a couple of dozen programs nationally that are accredited. And here's a heads up of around the corner. There is an evolution of their requirement for setting for their board that requires after 2022 the completion of a training of a program that has a minimum of 75 clock hours of training plus curriculum and that sort of thing. I will not be doing that with New Life Story Wellness. But you can, and anyone you refer can, as well as you having completed the training, can be grandfathered to be accredited, or certified rather, by them with the training that you have, or the training that currently exists with New Life Story. That made sense. But they're evolving, but this will be applicable for another over 2 years for certification with them. The accreditation stands for the New Life Story Wellness. So I hope that makes sense. If there are any questions about that, let me know. But who else? What other kind of wins, progress, notes, happenings do any of you have?
Hi, David. It's Amy.
Hey, Amy, go ahead. Great. And you're going to be on in just a few moments. You want to check in?
Sure. I have been working with some different sport teams lately, which is interesting. I've been working with a swim club in New Jersey, a pretty high-powered program that they have with a lot of kids. And then I've been doing some stuff with some squash players at a big club. I've been doing a lot of working with a lot of tennis players and golfers. So this has been interesting to me to see the dynamic that these kids feel and the different pressures that are kind of the same when you look from one sport to another. It doesn't really matter, but it just makes me realize how much work they need because their confidence levels are really not quite there pre-competition, and that's a really hard thing to watch. So that's basically
yeah.
what I've been doing.
Do you focus, Amy, more on the actual participants, the people who are involved as performers, or do you focus on training the trainer, of working with the coaches so that they can be more effective in a leveraged way, or both? How
yeah, that's a good question. Well, right now I'm working with the participants. They're trying to launch this program. One of the moms came to me and said, we really need this. You know, these kids are competing. They're so hard, and they really need this kind of work, and kind of brought me into this program. So we're just getting the schedule organized. But that is what I'd like to do next, because they have a lot of coaches that work with these kids that also need some type of training, and also the parents need some training. So it's really the dynamic of all three, but right now I'm starting with the competitors, the kids.
That's interesting, and that's a delicate and challenging interface when you look at the three components or groups of people, the performers, the coaches, and the parents, and the interface that you're in a unique position to address. So that'll be very interesting to see how you evolve that and the models that you develop and have already developed in dealing with that. So I know I'm eager to hear what you're going to talk about with your inner champion coaching focus for us for the 15 minutes in the last hour. So super, and thanks for agreeing to do
that. Okay, thanks for asking me.
Totally. Well, great. Who else? I know you guys are up to a lot of stuff. I'm eager to hear, and our group is eager to hear.
Well, Dave, it's Carlene again.
Yes.
So one of the things I offer at a few different yoga studios in the city is a 10-week Learn to Meditate course. And then from that course and from my teaching, I usually receive follow-up for the mentorship, which is where my business is sort of heading, is more towards the mentorship. But in the meantime, I would also like to focus a little bit more on publishing. So I've finished a manuscript, which is a memoir style related to story mind and meditation in life and how my life has changed because of it. So I'm looking at publishing that and a few smaller pieces this year.
Terrific. Can we, for the benefit of everyone, and mostly me who has some questions about this, can we look at a couple of aspects of that? In your 10-week course or engagement, how do you plant seeds without upselling or being flagrant about being salesy? Plant seeds to let people know that you do mentor coaching, that you found successful for people to then engage you subsequently in a different format?
Well, that's a really good question. And so far, I haven't done it at all. And
how do they know you're a mentor coach then?
Well, what sort of started to happen organically is that people really like what I'm offering and they wanted to work with me more. And
perfect.
I didn't have anything to offer them, but I started to think, well, if this is happening organically, I should probably be thinking a little bit along those lines. So that's what inspired me to move my business in that direction. And so this is pretty new in terms of having the infrastructure to offer it. So I feel like what I'll do is just add it to my business card, which I provide for contact services at the start of the class. And then it can just be there, and then my website's there, and they can follow up that way.
That's great, and that's a good illustration. In a business perspective, even though it was offered in a client perspective from the founder of this whole business of professional coaching, Thomas Leonard said, you know, we just have to be one step ahead of our clients. And you're just staying one step ahead in the business model. So as you're having discussions, if you have any actual verbal discussions in or after the sessions that you offer, if you simply give an illustration of a point that you want to emphasize and reference it as coming from a mentor coaching client, that plants the seed that that's also what you do, and that's an additional and subsequent benefit that people can get. And as you are developing the structure to have in place when you make a recommendation to someone, boom, you're ready. You have the client information packet, the monthly retainer link, or however you do it, so that you're ready to do it. And it really dovetails to complement each other. So that's a great reminder to everyone about looking at the flow of that. And let me make one suggestion about the publishing. You know, our maxim in coaching is, what's the next best thing? What's the next step? And then after that, what's the next best step? For publishing, what you may want to do is to start with the next step of publishing 200 or 300 words, and that's called a blog. And you offer that, and the way of acquiring the information, immersing yourself in the process, is to look at what you most want to learn. And that's what's going to inform your writing, because you're doing research all along with Google Alerts and reading and all kinds of things about getting informed and becoming more and more an expert in a specific thing and benefiting other people. So it's a win-win, and then it becomes a third win when it generates clients for you. But those blogs, if you have a theme and a brand, can all fit into what you're ultimately writing. I know many of you have heard this before. The book that just came out, Your New Money Story, and the subtitle is The Beliefs, Behaviors, and Brain Science to Rewire for Wealth. Almost half of that came from my blog that McGraw-Hill, the publisher of Secret Language of Money, nudged me to do, and I sort of resisted initially. But I finally did it, found out how much I loved it, how much it was a terrific way of doing research for subsequent writing, but for right then for blogs. So it informed a good deal of the next book. So you can be doing a multi-purpose and multitask by focusing on the next thing, but just having different purposes and directions that you may go with it. So does that make sense to you, Carlene?
Yeah, and I really appreciate that because I've kind of come to the – I do have a blog, and but I've always up until recently been working on brand new material and, like, always related to the same theme. But I realize I have a lot of content, and I don't need to keep reinventing the wheel. I need to just be a little bit more specific and succinct and work off of the same themes for time management as well.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I learned that when I completed my residency and joined the faculty at Baylor College of Medicine, the most prolific author kind of took me under his wing, and we were talking one day. I said, man, you have so many publications. He said, you want to know the secret? And I said, sure, Ed. I'm interested. He said, it's the same stuff. Just change the title in the first sentence. And I said, oh.
Yeah.
So what you'll find also, and seriously, though, a benefit is asking for feedback. So you're developing a readership, because when you post a blog, you can put it where it automatically is posted in terms of the title and the link, the announcement of the blog, simultaneously on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and it can go viral that way. And also, if you ask for feedback, you're getting information, you're starting conversations, you're finding out what kind of challenges people have so that you can be of additional service in addressing them through the kinds of things. It can help determine the content of the blog. Remember how many times I've asked you guys in this mentor group even, what kind of things would you be most interested in hearing about? And I realize, you know, when I hear something that's of interest, I don't have to generate another white paper. I can give it to you guys now because you have much more expertise in some areas, as you'll hear in our two presenters today, than I do. So this is great, and this is a great way to think about what's next for you, is what kind of challenges that you're hearing from the people you are really addressing and having conversations with. This is the development of your professional relationships. So thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other wins or progress notes? I want to save a little bit of time for a mastermind question or challenges that we can address as a group. But who else? What you got? Anyone else want to check in or give us a progress note? What about any challenges? Anything that you would like to bring to the group and use the group as a mastermind group? We have a wealth of information that is lying in the minds of each of the participants, and that we can develop the wisdom within the group to look at and address. So what kind of things would you like to bring to the group for discussion, or challenges that you've had, or things that you've done in response to challenges that might be beneficial to the group?
David, this is Amy. One of the frustrations that I have found is in reaching out to college coaches, because that's really one of the best ways in to get to start working with a team is to go through the coach. And I found that if I send an email out, half the time they never even email you back. And so I'm a little bit frustrated as far as the process of trying to break through and get, you know, get them to kind of pay attention to you and let them know about your services. And, you know, I'm not sure if I'm taking the most effective path, but that's really what I'm trying to do, is to nurture more teams, get more. There's so many colleges in Philadelphia, and that's really my passion. And I have done quite a few of them, but I really want to get a few more. And that's been a little frustrating dealing with some of these coaches.
Okay. And that's a great question. Let's open it up. Any of you have suggestions about what's worked for you in a similar situation? Let me prime the pump here then while people are hatching their ideas and suggestions. I think it's an overestimate that half the people open their email, even from people who know you or know me. It's been shown that less than one-third of the emails are actually opened. So a different approach is needed. Now, that may be snail mail, but most likely, is Kay McConney on the line by any chance? She initiated the concept in a mastermind group that we did with some of you who also are on the call, about and coined the term, which I thought captured it, an internal champion. Whenever you contact any organization, and this includes college coaches, any organization, you want to develop an internal champion. Now, that may be ideally by an introduction of some coach you have already worked with who would agree to give you a recommendation or referral to a coach in a program you're wanting to target. And I'm making this up, but it's not very far off. A direct introduction, live introduction, the follow-up response is around 90%. And a telephone introduction with all three of you on the line, the response is almost 70%. An email introduction of all three of you drops it down to 40%. And anything else is single digits. So the more that you can get someone actively giving a referral or recommending you to someone and doing the next step of doing it actively, they're is a greater chance of doing it. That becomes your champion, maybe not internal to that organization, but internal to the whole spectrum, the whole fraternity sorority of coaches. Now, one way to do that is someone you already have done work with who may know somebody at that college or that organization. Now, here's a way to start from scratch. And I know some of you have heard this story before, but I think it illustrates my point. When I first joined the faculty at Baylor, there were seven of us who were rookies who were coming from different programs, and each wanted to establish a private practice to keep our clinical skills really up to snuff. And it was possible then. We could be geographic full-time. So when I came, I had no idea who was going to be referred. Nobody knew me. I didn't know anybody else except on the faculty. And the first referral I got was from the secretary of the chairman of the department. I thought, well, of course, that's who somebody's going to call if they're new to the area or if they don't want to share with their family doc that they want to see a shrink. They're going to call the secretary of the best medical school. So I got a referral. I went down to thank her, and there was no confidentiality revealed. It's just this person followed through, and I thanked her. Next referral, same thing. Christmas, a gift. Same thing. Every time I appreciated it, went down and personally thanked her. Our group of rookies got together in the late spring of that first year, and each were talking about how extremely disappointed they were that they only had one, some of them had none, one of them had two patients, and most of them had either none or one. At that time, I had eight patients and two on a waiting list. So that system does work. And it's the care and nurturing of referral sources, but really developing the referral source. Who's the internal champion of the system that you want? Same thing when you do a presentation or do a proposal to an organization for a workshop, a retreat. Find an internal champion who can tell, or even just a keynote, find an internal champion who can share with you what's worked, what the primary challenges of that group are, how they've responded to various formats and different things so that your proposal can specifically fit the best needs and the best manner of addressing those needs of that organization. Now, Amy, does that make sense to you in terms of your question?
Yes, it does, because I was going to go to the coach that I've been working with. I've been doing the tennis teams for the last 6 years at St. Joe's, and so I was going to – I mean, he has given me recommendations on my website and things like that, but I think in reaching out to some of the other coaches at that university, you know, with his permission, I will see if I can – use him as a reference to kind of break in. Maybe that would, and maybe if in the title on it, say, you know, put his name, tennis team, something like that, just so it means something.
Well,
this is Lisa.
Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Lisa Manyoki. My daughter goes to St. Joe's, so here's another thing. I went into the locker room when my son was playing ice hockey, and I found that visibility was really important. If you can show up at some of the games and be present so that you're recognizable, that will help. And also find a team that's in desperate need of a turnaround, because their degree of urgency will likely be greater than just anybody who's doing well. I found that the college hockey folks were a little resistant. They dismissed me as a player's mom and that I was a woman. It was kind of an old boys type of attitude, but with visibility, they softened a little bit. And, you know, I went into the locker room and did a little speech before each game, and it made a huge difference. And the other thing is to talk with some members of maybe the club sports that will be more amenable to you're participating so that you can create a more visible presence, and then they'll help generate the reputation.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. I found that they didn't. What's that?
That's a good idea, the club sports.
Yeah, they're not funded the same, of course, but they do have a budget. And, like, for example, you know, at St. Joe's they have a water polo team. Nobody's looking at them to help them out, but the kids who play are really committed. So if you become their rescuer and their champion, they will spread the word throughout the community, and it might give you a runway into other sports. And lastly, if you write well, I know I wrote for Podium Magazine for a while, and that was a athletic performance publication. So if you have a presence in another publication that spreads the word about who you are and what you do, there's a great forum for an audience that you otherwise wouldn't reach in person visibly.
Oh, okay, I'll look into that.
Hope that helps.
Thank you. Yeah,
yeah, great ideas. Thanks, Lisa. And just to say one more thing about the personal development, instead of an email, I would suggest if you can get the referring person to send a joint introduction in some way, whether that's a telephone call ideally, maybe a joint email, but also anytime you have a contact, even if it's an email, contact the personal assistant of the person you want to connect with and get them to collaborate with you about what's the best way to get your proposal read or your message to the person that they're protecting and facilitating, so that that becomes your internal champion. And that's analogous to the Secretary of the Department of Psychiatry, because the principle here is that people will commit to what they help create. So when you engage someone in that coach's office to facilitate the coach getting your message, both of you share that success, and you can express your gratitude for that, so you're not operating alone, and you enhance a bit the possibility of having that person really read your communication and to know that this is a very bona fide referral from somebody that is known. So that's a success of your referring person, that personal assistant, as well as you. So that's a threefer. So think about how you can develop that. Make sense?
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, we're at the last half of our hour. Let me just briefly introduce Amy. Her coaching and her website is the same, Inner Champion Coaching, I-N-N-E-R Champion Coaching. I would say definitely check out her website. It's absolutely terrific. Look at especially her list of workshops. I think that's a stellar aspect. So that's how you do a website, I think. As you've heard, she does sports psychology coaching as well as life and wellness. And here's what she didn't know. Here's what I didn't know. She's in the Tennis Hall of Fame. Go beat that. And I give you
wow. Thanks, David. So if anybody has not taken David's Peak Performance course, I would highly recommend it. It's really, really helpful, and a lot of the things in there I will be using and would like to use even more in this area. So just wanted to say that. So there is an old Cherokee legend known as the Tale of the Two Wolves. A grandfather explains to his warrior grandson that there are two wolves within each of us. One wolf is positive and beneficial, while the other wolf is negative and destructive. These two wolves fight for control over us. The grandson is curious and asks, "Which wolf will win?" The grandfather replies, "The one you feed." If thoughts determine feelings, then feelings influence performance. That being the solid gold truth, learn to think more positively about yourself and your game. That
Amy,
is
may I interrupt for just a second? Would everyone please mute? If you move around, if you have a headset or do anything like shuffle paper, it's being picked up. So if you would mute just while Amy's presenting and then come back off mute to exchange questions and answers and discussion with her. Thanks, and sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. That being the solid gold truth, learn to think more positively about yourself and your game. That is, monitor what you tell yourself and always feed the good wolf, not the bad wolf. This is one of the most important life lessons you can ever learn. Understanding that this choice is yours alone is very empowering and important. So the first step in feeding the good wolf is learning to identify your own negative and self-defeating thoughts. In my work with elite athletes and teams, that is the most common and destructive theme that I see. It's the negative self-talk. It's the degrading inner chatter that consumes the left side of their brain. And the biggest challenge is they recognize it, but getting them to actually change their mindset and learn how to play in the right side of their brain, the calm, relaxed, artistic side. So the athlete's message is clear. The difference between best performances and worst performances lies within their thoughts. That's from Terry Orlick. So when I meet with teams, I like to give them a list of some of the most common problems and blocks that they will encounter in competition. Number one, negative self-talk, choking, fear and anger, physical fatigue, fear of failure or losing, pressure from others such as coaches, parents, or peers, psyching yourself out instead of your opponent, and anxiety or nervousness. Now, in one of the last workshops that I just did, it's a very elite swim club. These kids get up every day at 5 o'clock. They're in the pool at 6 a.m. They work incredibly hard. They commit themselves. And I went around the room after I read this list, and I said, you know, raise your hand if you're having any of these issues. Well, obviously, everybody's hand went up. And we had a lot of different issues that the kids were struggling with. But the most prominent one, which I found really hard to listen to, was they said that when they stood up on the block before the race and they're standing there, I said to them, what are you thinking? What's going through your mind? I went around the room again, asked every single person, and some of the things they were saying were, I'm not good enough to be here. This person next to me is much faster. I know I'm not going to be able to shave those seconds off my race. I should just quit. I stink. And it was just unbelievable. And I said to them, what if we started to replace these really negative things? And I gave them a bunch of examples. And we strung together two or three different phrases. And I said, how do you think it would feel to be standing up there pre-race and to be feeding the good wolf? To be telling yourself, I'm ready, I'm excited, I know I can do this, I'm so well prepared. And they, I mean, obviously they all agreed, yes, this would be incredible to be able to do this. I really want to do that. And so the next thing I did was, after this workshop, I emailed the coach, and I said, I just wanted to report, this is the feedback I got. These were the statements that I got. And he was blown away. He had no idea that these kids were feeling that way, that basically not one of them felt like they were standing up there and were, I'm ready, I got this, I'm so excited. And so it was a revelation to him because he's been working with these kids constantly, but one of the issues that I'm seeing with competition and sport teams is they don't really offer this type of training. So they work on their technical part, they work on their fitness level, and the third component, you know, one of the most important things, the mental part, is being ignored. And so with these youth organizations, they're starting to realize that this is a really, really important component because these kids are only going to get so far and they're working so hard. And once they get in really high-level competition, these kind of negative thoughts are going to plague them. So that was really interesting for the coach to find out. And then one of the moms also got the feedback from her daughter, you know, how useful this was and how some of these kids felt. So the other thing I like to do is I like to let them know, well, what is involved? What does this mean to do mental training? What am I going to be doing? What's involved in mental training to achieve peak athletic performance? Setting short and long-term goals, changing negative thought patterns and perceptions into positive thought patterns and belief systems, writing positive self-statements about and in support of your athletic performance, performing relaxation techniques, using visualization and imagery in your sport, concentrating and focusing, and coping mentally with injury and pain. So there are five tools. All you need to do is learn these five tools to achieve your mental edge. Number one, mental log. You have to have a reflection of your entire thinking process. You have to log things. You have to write things down. Number two, goals. Focusing on your priorities. What are your short-term goals? What are your long-term goals? What are your performance goals? Number three, affirmations. Learning how to improve your self-confidence and self-esteem. They are positive. They have to be positive and in the present tense. Number four, all you mindfulness people will enjoy this, you meditation people. Relaxation. Relaxing the mind and body to increase receptivity. And number five, visualization and imagery, improving your focus and concentration. These five tools will all lead to peak performance. So identifying where the obstacles are, explaining what the process is, what's our plan? Now that we know that you suffer from this, what are we going to do? So that step-by-step process is the way that I would go about doing it. Another thing that I really like doing with these kids is it's called an inventory bag, and they're going to take inventory of the good reasons for their self-esteem today. So we write down, what is your bag? Your bag is your blessings, your accomplishments, and your goals. So what's in your bag? These are some of my, so I would have them write this out. These are some of my many blessings, the people and things that I'm thankful for. They have to write three of those. These are some of my accomplishments. What have I done that I'm super proud of so far? And these are some of my goals, my dreams and ambitions that inspire me daily. So I really like doing that exercise with them. The acronym is BAG. What are my blessings? Who am I grateful for? What are my accomplishments, my strengths, and what are my goals? And that's one of the exercises that I do with them. The other thing that I think is really important is I teach them the three P's. Present focus, where they concentrate on their breathing, their calming, and they're centering themselves. Positive images, visualizing previous performances where they did really well, looking at them like they're on ESPN, looking back at themselves, watching themselves perform beautifully, getting a mental picture before they do their swing or before they go in the water, anything that they have to do like that. And then their power words, which is their language for success. So this is kind of the process that I would go through with athletes, and it, you know, kind of incorporates a lot of different things. And that's what I have.
That's a terrific overview, Amy. Thanks. Are there questions or follow-up that any of you have for Amy? We got just 2 or 3 minutes, but what kind of questions do you have of Amy? Amy, one thing that strikes me, and I'll jump in unless somebody else wants to respond, you have some terrific material here that comes from the challenge of the competitor at the very instant before they engage in their performance, when they should be doing something other than this negative self-talk. If other coaches and parents hear these quotes at the beginning of a proposal that you have, that's the challenge of the story that you're going to develop and create a resolution for. That's attention getting. If the parents didn't know it, if the coaches didn't know it, then other parents and other coaches didn't know it. So that's powerful. And that's exactly what, you're not making this up. You're quoting them, and you're hearing what it's like for them, and the coaches have no clue. So this is powerful. Your thoughts?
I totally agree with you, and that's why I wrote the email, and I put some of those things in there, because he had absolutely no idea. And then I did it again the next week with a different group, and I had the same situation, same kind of comments, and I emailed him again and said, well, you know, basically I had the same response from this group. So it is.
Let's just be sure they get the emails or get the communication, whether it, in whatever way it's written, so that they get the full impact and that they know that you're focused on result. People don't buy methods, they don't buy programs, but they buy results. And that's for organizations and executives as well as coaches. They want results. That's what keeps them hired. So this is what you can offer. And that's tremendous. And that's a great overview and reminder for everyone who offers anything like that in any realm. It doesn't have to be sports, but that's a great overview for any kind of offering. Yeah. I really appreciate you doing that and doing that in such a succinct overview. Any other questions or comments about any aspect of what Amy talked about?
Amy, this is Stephen. That was really great. I'm wondering if the coach had any interest in expanding the work you do with other teams, or how he really responded to that feedback, and if he did offer you more opportunities to work with more students who need this.
Well, that's a good question. I'm waiting for his response. I think one of the challenges is, when are we going to do this? I mean, the kids are there really early in the morning, and, you know, my thought was a weekend would be the best, like an early Saturday or Sunday morning when they have a lot of the kids there. I mean, my initial meeting there was, he's got so many kids there, and they'd like to start to institute this, and I think his challenge, what he's trying to work out is he's never done this before, and he's got to present it to the parents, but... you know, part of it is just the organizational stuff. When are we going to get Amy in to meet with all these kids? Do we offer it to everyone? Do we just offer it to the more competitive ones? So these are some of the things that he's sorting out.
And your answer, of course, is, well, if you want to have a championship team, it would be to everyone, and it would be at prime time.
Right, exactly.
Hey, I'm going to have to move on. Thank you so much, Amy. I'm going to send around Amy's link, her website, and her email in case you have follow-up questions. Now,
thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That was outstanding. I want to introduce Kip Flock. He has been an exquisite mentor coach for some time. He does work with organizations and professionals, particularly around developing resilience strategies and mindset awareness and performance. He is certified in a lot of things from stress management, meditation, yoga. I would also recommend his website, which happens to be done by another member of our group who happens to be on the call, Lisa Manyaki. And his website is just simply www.kipflock.com. You can't get any more simpler than that. So, Kip, take it away.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Amy, for the three Ps, because mindfulness and meditation practices for stress mastery is certainly founded in those three Ps, to be able to presently focus our awareness is what mindfulness is all about. And it makes it easier when people are mindful in the moment to master states of mind, such as generating confidence, which you also referred to. And also, it helps people to focus on and crystallize next steps in coaching. So mindfulness, if I can model a few practices here so that we can all be able to do it with our clients, is about centering and grounding. So that if you now are aware of what you see, starting with in your mind, now I'm aware of seeing, and now I'm aware of hearing, and now I'm aware of what I'm touching or what's touching me, seat beneath me, breathing. Now I'm aware of my hands. Now I'm aware of my face. So those are centering suggestions to bring people into the moment, to bring us together, as though we've waited all of our lives to get here at this moment on this phone call with the people that we're with. When we look at stress mastery, it's important to have some sense of what stress is. Stress is a response to change, and stress begins in the mind. And it's perceived, it's a perception of a threat. That is, the change is threatening to us, threatening to some aspect of our security. And we're attached to something on the outside of us that we don't seem to have control or power over. When we're in the stress response chronically, we're in fight, flight, and there are just so many psychological and physical components of that, like shortness of breath, heart rate goes up, and we lose concentration. And so rather than fight with the mind, we want to increase the relaxation response, which Amy also referenced. When we're in the relaxation response, it's impossible to be in the stress response. And it only takes about 30 seconds through some stretching of the body and refocusing the mind on something that's relaxing and calming to be able to break that cycle of stress. We know that stress begins in the mind, and it's real easy to assume that that's where we start to reduce stress and increase relaxation response. But the research shows in yogic practices that starting with the gross and going towards the subtle is a better way to go. So that if we start with the body, stretch, do some deep breathing, it's much easier to redirect the mind. Breathing is very closely associated with mindfulness. So I'll just take you through a brief practice here of breathing that you can use with clients to help prepare them for next steps in coaching. So sitting in a comfortable position, allow yourself to be aware of your breathing, and then on the exhale, starting with an exhale, bring the navel back towards the spine. And then take a three-part breath. Breathe into the bottom, middle, and top. And then as you exhale, allow the exhale to be longer than the inhale. And then as you take a three-part inhale, filling in the abdomen area, then the ribs expand and the collarbone goes up, pushed by the air and not the muscles in the shoulder. Then allow the exhale to be longer than the inhale. We know from research that when we take a three-part breath like this and the exhale is longer than the inhale, that it activates the vagal system, the parasympathetic relaxing part of the autonomic nervous system and the brain. And this calming technique then helps us to redirect the mind back to the here and now. So as you take a deep breath again, and then slowly exhale, just gently open the eyes if you had them closed, and just be aware of your surroundings, your present experience, and your perceptions. That three-part breath is guaranteed to bring people out of the stress response, which usually has the component of catastrophic expectations of the future, like Amy talked about with the performers in the pool, and or rumination about the past, not being able to do what we wanted to do. And so meditation is also another way of generating the relaxation response. There's the story of the Flying Walindas, who were a circus act, and they were on the high wire, and the family rule was you never let go of the pole. You know, they'd be on each other's shoulders, and at one point the family fell because they always worked without a net. And when they fell, several of the family were killed. And the patriarch of that went on to do solo acts all over the world of walking in the high wire. And at one point, he was walking, I think it was in San Juan, Puerto Rico, between two buildings on the outside. It wasn't in a circus tent. And the wind came up when he was out on the, when he started to walk on the wire, and it tipped the pole, and he finally fell to his death. And I saw pictures of that in the newspaper. And the picture was that he was on the wire, the pole started to tip. He had the pole in one hand, and he had his other hand on the wire. And then the third photo was him holding onto the pole, falling. If only he had been willing to let go of that pole, he could have grabbed onto the wire, even gone down and gotten the pole and tried it again. And so in coaching, when we're asking people to focus on themselves in the here and now, we're asking them to let go of unconscious beliefs about themselves, as Amy talked about. We're asking them to let go of what they've been doing for many, many years in default position. And that can be perceived as a threat. And so meditation is another way to help people to focus their mind. And in meditation, the goal is to calm and clear the mind. And the first step towards meditation is concentration, which is trying to focus the mind on one point. Nobody can focus their mind, empty their mind. So what we want to do is bring the mind to one-pointed awareness. And then after that stage, we go into a flow, which Amy described a little bit, and which is the goal for performance in anything, sports included. And so in the second stage of meditation, the knower, the known, and the knowing become one. And we want to identify as the subject, the knower, in meditation, as awareness. So in meditation, it's as though the mind is a mirror for us of who we are and what we're experiencing. And if the mirror is smudged and cracked, then we have a distorted view of ourselves. So meditation helps to remove those distortions. The other analogy is like a lake. If we look in a lake that's calm, we can see our reflection clearly. But if the lake is in turmoil and it's a lot of sediment coming up, we can't get a realistic view of ourselves. Meditation is about calming and clearing the mind and balancing the mind. So for us as coaches, we want our clients to come to a balanced state of mind, so we're not coming from the state of fight-flight. We make better decisions that way, and we're able to generate a vision of where we want to go, and then the next steps become more clear. So what I'll do is just take you through a meditation on the breath. The breath is a wonderful thing to meditate on because it's very portable. So there are three types of meditation. There's visual, auditory, and then witnessing. Meditation on the breath is a witnessing type of meditation. So that if you are willing to, allow yourself to come into a comfortable seated position, closing the eyes, and then bringing your awareness to some aspect of the breath. In this practice, we're not controlling the breath like we did before, but rather just watching the breath. And if the mind wants to think about something else, gently bring the mind back to the breath. Bring the mind and the focus to the abdomen area of the breath. Notice that as you breathe in, the abdomen goes out. As you exhale, the abdomen comes in. Bringing the awareness up the breathing passage to the nostril area. Notice that as you breathe in, the air is cool. As you breathe out, the air is warm. If the mind wants to think about something else, gently bring it back to the nostril area of the breath. Then allow yourself to take a deep, full breath. And as you exhale, slowly open the eyes and gently look around. Meditation on the breath is something that has been used in sports teams very effectively, and it helps on the preparation for the positive imagery in preparation for possibility mindset and neural conditioning and focusing on what's the next step in coaching. So with that, I'll just stop and open things up for any discussion or comments about your experience.
Thanks so much, Kip, for that overview. Any questions or any aspects of that you want to focus on just briefly? Well, Kip, that was very thorough. I'm very relaxed. I appreciate that. I'm going to send the contact information for both Kip and Amy. Also, send me anything you want to announce to our group and a link or contact vehicle for that so that I can send it around in a follow-up, and I'll send that with the link for the recording as soon as that's ready from my IT guy. So thank you all very much. It's always a terrific treat for me, and I look forward to our reunions tremendously, and I hope you've enjoyed it, found it beneficial, and let me know, as always, if there's any way I can be of help to any of you. I'll be very happy to do so. So thanks very much for your attendance, your eagerness, and participation. So thanks very, very much. Bye, guys. See you.
Thank you.